I want to turn to Romans chapter 11 this evening. Romans chapter 11. Isn't it amazing sometimes the impact that little words have? I remember years ago studying the first chapter of Ephesians, and I noticed how many times us is mentioned there. Also in Romans chapter 8, I made mention of how many times us was mentioned in Romans 8. And after the service, a brother came to me and said, well, look at Ephesians 1. It's there more times than that. Little words can make a big difference. The last verse of this chapter really is what I want to deal with, where it says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's what it's all about. Giving glory to God. Thanksgiving unto his holy name for all that he has done for us, for his mercy, for his grace, for his love, for his power, for his goodness, for all of his grace that he has given us. Praise be to his holy name. So whatever we do, we should be praising the Lord. Whatever we do, we should do it, Thessalonians where it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. You know, if we would just maintain that perspective, that whatever we're doing in the sight of God. And so let's do whatever we do in a way that would be pleasing to him for us to do it. It'll be a greater blessing to those that we're trying to help. It'll be a blessing to us. Okay? Now, in this portion of scripture, Paul has just made mention of some things. A couple of times in scripture, Jesus referred to the fact that the kingdom had been taken from the Jews. Over in Matthew 21, he talks about, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, he wasn't talking about one single ethnic group, okay? When he was talking about a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, he is talking about someone of a common birth, those that are born from above. We're the ones who can bring forth those kinds of fruit, all right? But here in Romans 11, he's using the analogy of an olive tree and how he's using the Jews as this olive tree, and the fact that they rejected him, you know, the stone that the builders rejected, the same as made the head of the corner, another analogy. We find that since they rejected him because of unbelief, then Paul uses this analogy of like an olive tree and how that the natural branches were broken off, the Jews. But then Gentiles were brought in and like a wild olive tree was grafted in. All right? But he says, now, God did that, but don't boast. For if he spared not the natural branches, then if we're guilty of unbelief, then he it could be that he wouldn't spare us either. Okay? So he's making this analogy. But he begins to speak about in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You know, there's some things that God has done. It's just utterly amazing. And I oftentimes we say that the amazing thing about grace is that he saved anybody. You know, and do we really believe that? I hope you do. Because when we understand what we are by nature, when we understand that, you know, Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful. Let's see, how's that go? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so many people in the world talking about follow your heart, follow your heart. Well, if your heart's in the right place, it might be okay. But you better be careful to make sure it is. Okay? We want to follow this word. Okay? And this word tells us that we're not worthy of the grace of God. And there's a large number of people that wants to talk about you need to remember that you are worthy. That's a different kind of thinking, isn't it, than what the Apostle Paul said. You go to Romans chapter 7, you find out what Paul thought about himself. You know, the good that I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Not that he was, but that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, there are things that God has done. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that Saul of Tarsus would have been one of the most ardent defenders of the truth? Who would have thought that? And yet God used him that way. Okay? And there's other examples in Scripture, but just think about it. You know, in more closer to our lifetime, when we think about, my brain's tired, I guess, tonight. the man, John Newton. When you read about his early life, his mama raised him, taught him right, and he went astray. For a long time he stayed astray. Who would have ever thought that a song, a hymn like Amazing Grace would have been written by such a man as that? And yet God used him in a mighty way. God can do that. God has done that many times. Oh, he says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Well, I tell you, there's a lot of folks that want to be his counselor. There's a lot of people that wants to be their own God. But his ways, what does he say in Isaiah 55? My ways are not your ways. Neither my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, how much higher is that? We can start from the earth, but we don't know where to go for heaven. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. But what God has shown unto us and what he has blessed us to understand is so glorious. So he says, who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Well, that's impossible. Okay. Then he says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Brethren, my persuasion about that all things is the all things that you find over in Romans 8. Those things that God has done through his purpose. Now I realize in a general sense, certainly, all glory is to be given to his name for all that he has done, for all of creation and all the beauty of it and all those kinds of things. Bless your hearts, when we're talking about how he has saved us and called us, as he would say elsewhere, bless your hearts, as we think about what God has done for us. I'm talking about not just the natural things, as wonderful as they are, as beautiful as this world is, and as glorious as the heavens are, and all of those kinds of things, what's even more glorious is what he has purposed to do in saving us from our sins, that we might be with him forever in glory. Amen. And so as we think about of him, for of him, you know, in terms of all things, but especially in terms of salvation, that speaks of him, for of him speaks that he is the source. He's the one that purposed our salvation. He's the one that purposed for his son, who, by the way, he sent himself, right? God manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel. He sent himself, all right? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us to be the fit sacrifice for our sins. He who knew no sin, you know, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, here's the glorious things, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I tell you, that's worthy of praise in all eternity. And that's what we'll be doing. It's giving him praise and honor and glory because it's of him. You know, and by the way, talking about the mind of the Lord, who would have thought that Jonah in the Old Testament would be used for such a mighty example of God's salvation? But you know, Jesus, you know, when he was speaking about his resurrection, he even mentioned that, you know, there shall no sign be given except that of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of, in the belly of the whale. Do you believe that? That a man could be in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights? Well, yes, that's what the word says. All right? Plain enough. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so, now the Old Testament says God prepared a great fish, but Jesus said in the New Testament, a whale. I'm going to take a whale. Okay? So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he was in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And then he came forth. He came forth, just like Jonah came forth out of that whale. But when did he come forth? Not while he was observing lying vanities. Remember, Jonah, when he got to the lowest point, he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But he came forth, not of his own power, but by God's power, when he said, salvation is of the Lord. That's when the old whale vomited him up out on dry land. And now Jonah was of a mind to do what the Lord called him to do to start with. But he's an interesting prophet, isn't he? I won't go any farther with Jonah. He was an interesting character. But God used him and that incident to be a type of the Lord being in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Then he came, he just told him, just like Jonah was there 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It's of him. Salvation is of the Lord. we think about, he is the creator. I mean, the word of God. God spake and it was done. Okay, he's the source, not only of the creation that we know about, but he's the source of all things. Okay, so we think about how he, of him, he is the source and the fountain of our existence. He's before all, as Colossians 1:17 says, he's before all things and by him all things consist. Okay, and that word consist there has reference to the idea that they exist and they continue to exist. Okay, according, as Hebrews says, according to the word of his power. Okay. So as we think about of him, okay? God being the source, he purposed to save us. He sent his son to save us. His son did save us, and we are kept by his power. I tell you, that's secure, isn't it? All right. And what a blessing it is to be blessed to know what he's done for us. All right. So of him and through him. Through him. That's the means of our salvation. That's how God has done it. Through him, his life and his power being exercised. So, and I've already spoken about the purpose of God and how he sent his son. Because, I mean, just think about all through him, through his power, his love, his mercy, his grace, all of these things working together, accomplishing what the Father intended to be done through him. And he's sovereign in that work, isn't he? You know, just like he, Nebuchadnezzar found out that none could stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" That had to be a revelation for that old fella. I mean, he thought he was the one that was in charge. Remember when the three Hebrew children wouldn't bow down? And he was enraged. I mean, nobody stands up to the king. Well, they did. They wouldn't bow down. And at least it seemed like he had some affection for them, because he was willing to give them a second chance. You know, those kings of that day, they weren't known for being soft on somebody. I mean, if you either did what they said or your head was going to be chopped off. But he gave them a second chance. I think that lesson is there for us more than for them. Maybe they didn't hear. Maybe they didn't understand. I mean, they actually, it's not their native language anyway. But they wouldn't bow. They would not bow down to that idol. And so Nebuchadnezzar, in such a fit of rage, commanded that furnace be heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be. In other words, what they normally did, 7 times hotter. And he commanded them to be casted to the fiery furnace. And remember what he said? This is what I'm getting to. And who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? I'm going to tell you, at that point, he thought he was number one. He thought he was in charge. So they opened up that furnace and it consumed the ones that threw them in. And then the Lord answered Nebuchadnezzar's question. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Because he looked in there and he said, "Did not we cast in 3? And lo, I see 4. The fourth is likened to the Son of God." I mean, this wasn't just some apparition. This was something God showed him. This is the Son of God. It can only come from him. And that man had a change of mind, didn't he? He had a change of heart. He met a power that he could not overcome. And he was made to realize that none could stay this God. He found out who this God was, and none could stay his hand or say unto them, "What doest thou?" And so God, through him, he works his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none could stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" Through him, the power that's needed, the grace, the purpose, the Lord Jesus Christ came, lived that sinless life, suffered and died. You know, even after the resurrection, when he was speaking with those disciples on the road to Emmaus, He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Why should they have known it? Because all the prophets have spoken of it. So he said, "In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." How that he was the one that the prophets had spoken of. He was the one the Father had purposed he would send to this world to suffer and die to save his people from their sins through him. He's the one with the power. He's the one with the love. He's the one with the mercy. He's the one with the grace. So, through him, through his grace, through his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, every other system of man, if you boil it, if you reduce it down, as far as what's being taught about salvation, it's either works or grace. Now, it could be elaborate. I mean, like Hinduism. You know, I don't know much about it, but I know a little bit about it. You know, that they have the one, the reincarnation. If you don't do what you're supposed to or do good enough, then you keep repeating the cycle and all those kind of things. It's a works system. The Islam, you know, I've read what little bit I've read about them. You know, they think there's a good angel and a bad angel, or angel on your shoulder, and you know, basically what it comes down to is if you've done enough good works, then you go to heaven. But they don't know till that time comes. There's no way of knowing. But it's a works system. Even the Jews. Jesus told them, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." The grace of God. Only through the grace of God, the gift of his Son, there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's the grace of God. Through him. And so as the result of that, to him. Revelation speaks about how that all things were made for him. So we think about it. All the glory, all glory is due to his holy name for what he's done for us. And we think about to him. He's the when in Hebrews, when it says he's the author and finisher of our faith, he's the perfecter of it. He's the finisher, the captain of our salvation. We heard some of that at the Gulf Coast meeting, didn't we? All right. But he's the perfecter of it. And he's the only one that could. There's no way we could. And so his wisdom, his knowledge, his grace, his mercy, his great love. The love that the Father had, you know, Jesus said, "As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." That's what it's all about. If we want to walk in a way that's pleasing unto him, we need to love God and love one another. We love him by keeping his commandments. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm just talking about Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so every time that we make a decision based upon what we think would be most pleasing to the Lord instead of something that would be pleasing to our flesh, we're keeping his commandment. We're doing that which is pleasing unto him. All right? And so as we think about to him be all praise and honor and glory forever and ever. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. You know, I can make that generic statement. If anybody's figured out some of the specifics about what we're going to be doing in heaven, I'd like to hear it. I've resigned myself to rejoicing more in what won't be in heaven. I can list out some of those things. You know, there's a whole lot of things that we have to put up with here. Not going to be there. He saved us from those things. If you want to talk about something being left behind, those kind of things, those are the things that's going to be left behind. But not a single one that God loved before the foundation of the world and chose in Christ that Jesus died for, not one of them ever going to be left behind. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I encourage you sometimes, and maybe you already do this, but I encourage you sometimes just to spend a few minutes thinking about some of your loved ones that have passed the scene of this life. It just does something to us to think about. And the longer we live, the longer that list is getting. I know for myself, I stop and think about some of the churches I've pastored or some of the places we visited and think, you know, how dear those people were. And like this brother that we mentioned this morning, Brother Ronnie Talbert, he was such a good brother. But they've gone on. They've gone on. And what a glorious thing when we are blessed to be in heaven's pure world. Now I know they're waiting the morning of the resurrection. And so there's coming a time when Jesus is coming back. And he's bringing those souls and spirits with him. And he's going to raise these bodies and reunite that soul and spirit with the body. And then those that are alive and remain, he's going to change and fashion them like unto his glorious body. But isn't that what the all things here is talking about? For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. I can't even count the ones I've known. And to think about all the redeemed family of God being together in one place, singing praises unto our God with a perfect heart and a perfect tongue and a perfect understanding. You know, the clearer our thinking is toward the grace of God and the mercy that he's bestowed upon us and the great blessings we have in him, the better our tongue is tuned to sing his praises. It's when we thinking about the things of this world and our minds not on the goodness and mercy of God, we kind of get out of tune, don't we? Oh, but bless your hearts. When we think about all praise and honor and glory to him, he's the one that's worthy. That's why we'll be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, has redeemed us to our God, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people." To him. To him. All right. That's the end. So he's the source. He's the means. And he's the end. I hesitate to use the word goal. We set goals. We try to accomplish things. God purposes, and he does. He accomplishes anything that he purposes to do. He has all the power and all the what's necessary to accomplish that. So he's the end. He's the purpose of saving. You know, the reason he's brought sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins, that in all eternity we can be with him and give him glory and praise for all that he's done. So, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a good place for an amen. And I close with this thought. How does the next chapter begin? Because of this, let's serve him acceptably. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's so necessary that we keep it transformed so that we can serve him acceptably. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God help us. Remember that it's of him, through him, and to him. And we give him all the praise. And I know this group, I know you're going to do that. But as we proclaim the word, bless your hearts, there's a lot of folks that wants to take a little credit. You know, whenever they talk about, I think I heard it recently, but I've also heard this somewhere else before, about, you know, if you ask somebody, how is it that you're saved? How is it that you were saved? If at any point they said, because I, they're missing the mark. It's because of grace. God's grace upon us. It's grace, not works. And we rejoice in that tonight. May God bless you, is our prayer.